Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, a mission-based financial institution that shares the common beliefs of our members and is dedicated to solving problems through extraordinary member service. Where you bank does matter.
The following is a relevant radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
After the hour, hello and welcome to On Call on Relevant Radio. On this program, each and every single solitary day, we are so blessed to be joined by Catholic clinical psychologists, physicians, authors, experts, and they are all on call for you. And the reason they join us is to help us face life and life's many challenges with mature wisdom and confidence, and above all, with our beautiful Catholic faith. I'm your host, Wendy Weiss, and before I introduce today's special guest, let's ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit over this important hour. Will you pray with me, please? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructed the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you for praying with us and for welcoming back to the program with us Dr. Joseph Coyle. Dr. Coyle is a Catholic therapist in private practice in Norwell and Waltham, Massachusetts, in the suburbs of the great city of Boston. And nothing particular of interest going on in Boston this weekend, right, Dr. Coyle?
That's right. Usual, that's our typical year, you know, generally every year around this time we have the same thing going on, so.
Well, now that hurts. Yeah. It's very exciting. It really is. And it has to be. Will this be, what is it, are you going for five? Is that Tom Brady's fifth or eighth or 12th? Or, I mean, which is it?
Oh, I think, yeah, five if I'm not incorrect, but I don't have the numbers at my fingertips here. I lost count.
Well, I know that Vegas has them up by three, so
right.
Yeah. So that's certainly, it's better than being down by three.
That's what we want to see, exactly.
That's right. Well, we are not going to be talking about anything as fun as the Super Bowl today. We are going to be talking about excessive anger, and perhaps some of you have noticed lately that people around you are becoming excessively angry, or maybe you feel a little more irritable than usual. Obviously, there are some cultural forces at work, a news cycle, and this is where, you know, being online all day, so many people they're just immersed in social media, and then so they really never get a break from it, even when they're at work. And there are very real tools in our Catholic spiritual toolbox that we can use to diffuse the situation when we feel those physical symptoms of excessive anger. But to start with, Dr. Coyle, is this normal? Is it as widespread as it feels? And how would you describe clinically excessive anger?
Well, I do feel that the climate currently has such a cloud over everything, and the typical issues or problems that people are bringing to me have an extra added kick to them, given the climate. It's kind of like there's people have a feeling that there's really no sanctuary, you know, certainly with, you know, the nightly news and just day to day, there's just new, really charged topics that are coming up, and people are feeling like the general struggles that they have are that much more energized. So I'm definitely seeing that. I'm feeling like the things that help, or that I try to tell people to try to deal with what's in their domain and to try not to get ahead of themselves. Certainly anger, anxiety, depression, these kinds of things can crop up when we're going beyond the bounds of really what's in our control. So I try to, you know, be very low-key with people and kind of pragmatic and try to help them drill into, you know, in a practical sense, what can they do, what's within their power on a spiritual level, what's God asking of them. You know, not every fight is my fight, and really try to be getting ourselves still so we can hear, you know, right. Trying to get people to have their antennas tuned in and not cluttered so that they can really hear and we can understand when God's asking us to move and when he's not. We're not called to be burdened is something I believe here with the dictates of our faith and with the assignments God gives us. So really trying to stay in step, you know, that metaphor of the yoke and trying to stay with Jesus, not getting ahead of him and not taking on more than what is ours.
What's the definition of excessive anger clinically? I mean, I think we all know it when we see it. We know it when we are driving by it on the highway. You know, I think that's another area where excessive anger seems to manifest itself. And, you know, is there actually a clinical definition?
Not exactly. Probably the closest thing to that as far as disorder, there's a disorder called intermittent explosive disorder, which is someone that's having real significant episodes of anger frequently, kind of akin to how you would have panic attacks as extreme bouts of anxiety. You can have these kind of outbursts of anger. But really, you know, what it comes down to, certainly there are objective criteria as far as, you know, damage that is done interpersonally or otherwise. But for most of the psychological issues and disorders, the person has to identify that this is a real significant barrier in their own life in one area of functioning, you could say, in a social arena, in an occupational arena, financial, you know, just all the different spheres, social, these kinds of things. So, you know, the person themselves, you know, generally has to recognize that this behavior is not working for them. It's getting them in trouble. It's creating more disorder, you know, and a lot of times people are looking to solve problems with anger, but, you know, it's helpful sometimes to take a look at the trail that you're leaving behind and to notice that what you're doing is not working for you.
And by the way, please, we don't rest on there isn't a formality in these programs. Join the conversation anytime you feel the need to jump in. And if you have a question for Dr. Coyle, if any of this rings a bell, if it sounds familiar, the number is 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. Dr. Joseph Coyle joins us. He is a regular contributor. Please pray for Dr. Coyle, his family, all of those who are served through his practice in suburban Boston, Waltham, and Norwell, Massachusetts. But josephcoyle.com, that is the website. It seems, and help me, you know, sort of separate perception from reality, Dr. Coyle. It seems that young people, and I'm not just talking about at UCal Berkeley or NYU last night, but it does seem that young people are angry or more angry. Are they any more angry than their fathers and you know, grandfathers before them? Or is there something unique about this particular era that we're growing, that we're living in?
Well, it's a great question. I don't know if I've come down on that variable to say, look at the age there. I mean, I think I've been thinking about it as far as just the issues that are being raised and the things that are being triggered are so emotionally charged that we're really seeing polarization in the ways that people are reacting. And, you know, we're really kind of bearing down on separate camps and separate positions. I think even as far as, like you mentioned, in social media and so forth, the anger that I see there, I'm not sure that I see dialogue a lot. I see monologue and people trying to convince each other of their viewpoints and so forth, which then begets defensive reactions, angry reactions, and so forth. So, again, on the level that I live on, I try to deal with the individual or certainly when working with in couples to try to look at those dynamics on how can there be listening, how can we understand the opposing position even when it is so charged. It sounds easy on paper, but it's very difficult to do that. So I think what we're seeing in the students and the protests and things that we're seeing are just these really core values and people's identities really being feeling like you're being targeted and so forth, and it's really hitting close to home and you know, generating these reactions.
15 minutes after the hour, he is Dr. Joseph Coyle. He is a Catholic psychotherapist. He's in private practice in suburban Boston, Massachusetts, where I'm sure the temperature is a balmy, what is it today?
20 degrees.
20 degrees. Wow. Okay. So you're going to fire up the barbecue pit for
exactly.
for the Super Bowl on Sunday. But we are talking about excessive anger because if you have talked to your friends, obviously your family members, people are noticing, I think, in ways that I've never been aware of before, how much anger there seems to be out there, you know, beyond the domestic church, in the workplace, on the highways, in the shopping centers, you know, that kind of thing. Or if you have noticed that someone you love has been dealing with excessive anger and you're trying to help them, maybe you have noticed it in yourself. The number is 877-766-3777. And, of course, we encourage you to phone in anonymously just because that makes it more comfortable for you. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. Join us.
Pope Francis, at his weekly general audience, has been focusing his talks on the theological virtue of hope. Here's Monsignor Stuart Sweatland with excerpts of a recent teaching from the Holy Father.
By fulfilling his promises and sending his Son, born of the Virgin Mary, God established his kingdom on this earth and directed our hope to eternal life. This hope is realistic and reliable. It is a hope that redeems and saves. For Christ, by coming in the flesh, has opened the way for us to ascend to the Father. In Mary, who trusted in God's word, we see the mother of hope. Joseph, too, is the man of hope, who gave Jesus his name, which means God saves. The peace proclaimed by the angels was heard with joy by the shepherds. May we, too, open our hearts to the good news of the Savior's birth and renew our hope in the kingdom of justice, peace, and holiness that he came to bring.
This is Relevant Radio.
Lead young people to understand that this relationship with Christ is first and foremost a commitment. He has made promises in Scripture to be with you always. The question is, are we going to reciprocate that commitment by showing up to prayer? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment by being faithful to the Eucharist? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment that God has made to us through regular reception of reconciliation when we fall, and trusting in God's love as a reality and not just an emotion? You know, most of them create their worldview based on what they feel. They need people involved in their lives who can mentor them and disciple them in that, because it is going to be probably the greatest challenge for them is to break out of the mold of the world, which says, if it feels right, do it. And they apply that same principle to the faith. And when it doesn't feel good, they don't do it. And that's just not what is going to help move them forward on a faith journey.
Relevant Radio, helping you guide your family with Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
Yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus, which is also known as Candlemas Day, because the candles that are used in our worship are traditionally blessed then. And today, a day when we honor an early church martyr named Blaise, we take some of those candles and use them to bless throats. Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, and I suspect you're familiar with the story behind this tradition. At one point in the Holy Bishop Blaise's life, some say while he was being hauled off to prison, a woman came running up to him, imploring his help. Her son was choking on a fishbone that was lodged in his throat. Bishop Blaise answered her plea, stopped, and offered a prayer for the boy, and he was immediately cured. As a result, the tradition developed of blessing throats on his feast day with the newly blessed candles from the Feast of the Presentation. While it might seem odd to have a day on which we bless throats and not one for blessing backs, knees, hearts, and stomachs, the blessing prayer that's used actually covers all those bases as well. Obviously, God is concerned about more than just our throats. He's concerned about all of us, our entire body, and especially our soul. But why doesn't God show that concern by healing us every time we ask? That's a mystery. And all we can say is that, looking at the big picture, God must have some reason for saying no to our requests, just the way he said no to his son when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. But let's not give up on praying. Let's pray the St. Blaise blessing prayer right now. Through the intercession of St. Blaise, bishop and martyr, may God deliver you from ailments of the throat and from every other evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources, go to relevantradio.com. Keyword, pray.
We want to pray with you and for you. You can share your prayer request with us at relevantradio.com. Simply click on the prayer request button or call 888-577-5443. All of your prayer requests are kept anonymous and are prayed for individually before the Most Blessed Sacrament.
Anger, he smiles towering in shining metallic purple armor. Queen jealousy, envy waits behind it. Her fiery green gown sneers at the grassy ground.
On college campuses and at high schools, students walked out of classes and staged sit-ins. In Los Angeles, protesters burned a Trump effigy and blocked a major highway. In Oakland, California, small groups of protesters set fires, burned flags, and damaged police cars.
It's 22 minutes after the hour, a little snippet of what we all are listening to in the mainstream media. We hear it all the time, and certainly anger is a human emotion, but as Catholics, we have so many other ways that we can deal with those emotions and not let them overwhelm us. And that's why we have Catholic therapist Dr. Joseph Coyle here today to help. The number in the studio is 877-766-3777. And I will be angry with myself if I forget to thank Tim Mersch, my producer, Bill Wooten, Charlie Woods, and Sarah Tafoya for all they do for us here in the midday block on Relevant Radio. We thank you all so much. And please offer up a little prayer for our midday team. They are just the best. Well, let's go to Karen in Helena, Montana. Helena, and she is listening to 97.3 FM. Karen, welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Coyle.
Dr. Coyle, thank you for your program. I'm not sure how to pose my question. I have a son-in-law who has anger issues, and I've never been around anyone with anger issues like this. And I never know what is going to trigger the anger. He gets so angry that he can barely talk, but it's just a barrage of swearing and yelling, and even in front of his children and my daughter. And I don't know what to do. I pray about it, but I really don't know what to say or do because it's almost like a fear. I'm almost afraid.
Sure. That sounds rough. One thing that comes to mind, obviously we want to try to have compassion for him and
I do. I love him.
Sure. Good.
I love him.
Good. And his suffering, right? He's suffering in there, and this is not what he's aspiring to, right? But I think one of the first things for you would be to try to get a sense of your own boundaries and what things, what behaviors you're going to tolerate and what you're not going to tolerate. And I don't mean to, you know, have you have a showdown with him, but, you know, very simple things on if there's certain language being used or there's just there's disrespect of you or loved ones, you know, there needs to be some attempt to calm that down. And if the person is not able to do that, then a lot of times the move is not to stay there, you know, and give them the opportunity to continue mistreating you, you know. So one thing you might think of is in these situations, I don't know what situations come up that you're together or how frequently, but, you know, I think you have to have a plan or kind of a bottom line for yourself that, you know, here's what I saw the last time we were together, and now if I see this again, you know, I'm just not going to stay there. I'm gonna get up and leave, or, you know, do you even have them over? I think the location where you are would be an issue. Do you bring somebody into your house that's volatile like that? If it happens again, what's your plan? What would you do? Who else is going to be there? You know, and again, I don't know him. I don't know the situations, but you can have safety concerns. You can have people can be breaking things, or people can feel like there's harm that can come. So I think you have to be careful with the situations that you're putting yourself in or that you're setting yourself up for, and have some kind of a plan about that, you know, on one level. Sometimes people are able to be approached and you know, can take feedback and can calm down, or people can, you know, leave and go outside and reset and come back. Sometimes they just need a reminder, and that's enough to kick them out of something, but sometimes they're not. So I think you have to kind of understand what you're dealing with there and what level you might need to intervene. But, you know, I would want to be working on that level. And then if there is openness on him speaking with you or with somebody, you know, about really what's going on underneath all this, I think of things the way you think of a pot on the stove, you know. And so if the heat gets too much and there's no valve, there's no vent, then you can have these explosions. So just for his own self-care, what's going on for him right now? What stress is he under? What support does he have? And would he be open to help or outside help from the family or others to try to really root this out, so it's not something that keeps happening?
Would it be helpful if she pulled him aside privately? You know, if your mother-in-law, you know, this is a woman who clearly loves her son-in-law, and if she just in a very loving, and obviously she's a very nurturing person, if she could just approach him and, you know, say, you know, have you ever thought of getting help? Is that the way to handle it, or to inquire, Dr. Coyle?
It's hard to tell just from this vignette, and I don't want to have her give me more details, but, you know, that could go badly depending
true.
On what we're dealing with. I would want to get a gauge on how open is he to any input from anybody. It might be, you know, your daughter that you take aside and speak with about, you know, what's going on and how can we help him and what have you tried that has more of the nuances and the context for that, and you might try to get a plan together with her, or just a conversation with her first before approaching him, because we don't know if he's going to take that as a real confrontation. The dynamics with the mother-in-law and the son-in-law can be tricky, so you have to understand the history there as well.
Sure.
So it's possible that in some circumstances that could go well, but I could see many cases where it wouldn't.
Well, Karen, I assure you of, as I do with every call, of the prayers of everyone listening, because I think we've all been there to some degree. You know, there's somebody in your life who, for whatever reason, is angry in the moment, and maybe it's, you know, developed over time and you're not clear in terms of how you should proceed. So we are praying for you, and certainly we're praying for your son-in-law and your daughter. God bless you. Thank you so much for phoning in. For Dr. Joseph Coyle, we're talking about excessive anger today. 877-766-7233. 3777. Join us. We'll be right back.
Ever hear the phrase, put your money where your mouth is? It means you believe in something so much that you're willing to back it up with your hard-earned dollars. Well, that's what we do at Catholic Order of Foresters. We're a Catholic life insurance company that provides members with outstanding financial protection in the form of quality life insurance and annuities. But what really sets us apart are our value-added fraternal benefits. Our members share the common bond and values of Catholicism. We support our Catholic community through fraternal outreach of spiritual, social, and community service projects. Protect your family. Secure your financial future, all while living a life in harmony with your beliefs. Catholic Order of Foresters, dedicated to bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. Add Relevant Radio as a beneficiary, and they can receive 5% of your total policy amount without reducing your family's benefit and at no additional cost. Call Mark at 855-696-2085. That's 855-696-2085.
Keeping you plugged in.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Church leaders.
Give me some perspective about not only the times in which we're in, but the role of Our Lady in these times.
The Most Reverend David L. Ricken, Bishop of Green Bay.
What's happened in our society in America is we keep pushing God out of our lives, pushing Him out of the public square, pushing Him out of religious freedom rights. Pretty soon they'll be pushing Him out of our homes and out of our hearts. We simply cannot allow that to happen. And I think the way we don't allow that to happen is to stop walking around asleep and recognize that these things are going on and that we need to include God in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, in our places of public gathering, and not to be ashamed of our faith, but to share and witness to the faith. That's what Mary does. She shows us how to witness, how to be strong in our faith, and she gives us the strength to live out the gospel values, the gospel way of life. She's so eager to introduce people to her son.
The Drew Mariani Show, weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern, 2 Central, on Relevant Radio.
This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
John Harper of Morning Air.
We talk about solutions. We look at the issues of the day, both nationally and around the globe, through the filter of the truth of the Church. We have fun and marry it with faith, and we take you all around the world to meet some of the best people that you'll ever want to hear on the radio to help you in your faith journey. That's what we do here on Morning Air.
Morning Air with John Harper. Weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on Relevant Radio. Giving voice to our shepherds. Relevant Radio. Bishop Robert Barron.
The Good Samaritan pours in the wine and the oil, and then he brings him to an inn where he pays for him. What's the inn? It's the church. Christ brings us to this place of healing. What does Pope Francis call the church? But a field hospital, right? Where wounded souls can find refreshment. He brings us to an inn. And so this great story is about how we should treat our neighbors. Absolutely, it is that. But see, far more powerful, far more important, it's a story about how God treated us and treats us in our sin. The Good Samaritan came, and we're gathered here in the inn to give thanks for it.
Giving voice to our shepherds. Talk Radio for Catholic Life. Relevant Radio.
I've got the major blues. My wife says she just doesn't have it for me anymore. Family that's just gone haywire. I lost my business a couple years ago.
Anne is joining us.
My heart just goes out for that man that called. I feel so bad for him because I was in the same situation 2 years ago. So I want that listener to know that there is hope for him, and he's not alone. And Relevant Radio will be with him every step of the way.
You're never alone.
Talk Radio for Catholic Life. Relevant Radio.
The Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their variety of life insurance options and annuity or retirement plans available at relevantradio.com, keyword Forester.
What a shot you could be if you could shoot at me with those angry eyes.
A violent protest on the campus of UC Berkeley. An editor for Breitbart News invited to speak at the school's Republican Club. In the end, that event was canceled after this mob outside turned violent.
26 minutes before the hour, this is Relevant Radio, and our guest this hour, Dr. Joseph Coyle, is on call. He's taking your questions and comments about dealing with excessive anger, and not just politically. I mean, right there in your own domestic church, if someone you love is angry or becoming more angry, and you obviously you want to help them, Dr. Coyle is here for that purpose. 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. I was telling Tim during the break, Dr. Coyle, that I think this is going to be one of those programs where people are, you know, they're trying to muster up the courage and they'll call in at the end of the hour and we won't be able to get everybody. I just want to always assure our listeners that no one will recognize your voice. We are coast to coast and around the world, so no one will know where you're calling from. If you need help with this type of problem, excessive anger, please don't let the hour go by without phoning in and taking advantage of Dr. Coyle's generosity and, of course, his expertise. 877-766-3777. I always wonder, Dr. Coyle, about the physical well-being. You know, the previous caller was, that was a young man, but sometimes you notice that as people age, maybe they get a little more brittle. You know, I mean, we all do. And sometimes, I mean, I remember it with my own dad. I knew he wasn't feeling well just because if he was irritable. How do you broach that subject with someone that you love who might be getting a little older and, you know, that there could be a physical reason why they're a little more irritable?
Sure. Great point. I think, you know, you want to try to lead with the sensitivity. And, you know, I think you want to give people some leeway. But if you're noticing things that are a pattern, then I think you want to just gently point out what you're seeing or ask kind of open-ended questions, you know, not too pointed on just how's everything going? How are you feeling? Is anything bothering you? You know, and just see what you get. A lot of times you can tell where the person's momentum is based on the initial answers to those. And, you know, you might need to have some flexibility within your own agenda with timing as well. You might have an agenda to say, I really want to get this on the table right now, and I want to talk about it, I want to sort it out, get a solution. But you have to stay with the person. You can't just crack through with your own agenda, or you're going to lose them, or you're going to trigger defenses. So I think you want to be having conversation and having a relationship that really, you know, forges the bond, keeps the bond going. And you may need to sometimes hang in there a while, until the person's ready or until their insights catch up with yours or, you know, and just you can plant seeds and say, look, if there's anything, you know, let me know if there's anything I can do. Here's what I've noticed. You know, please, you know, just let me know. You want to be very unassuming. You can also present people your dilemma. Sometimes that can really disarm and make it less likely that people would be agitated if you say, look, I'm really not sure I should even bring this up. I really don't want to overstep my bounds. I don't want to upset you, but I've noticed this. If you want me to just, you know, be quiet, I will. If you want, you know, so you can give them your thought process.
Right.
You don't have to have the solution already. You don't have to have all the words. Sometimes doing that helps engender a sense of team and you're really on their side and you're really not, you're not coming at them with anything, you know.
And I want to phrase this as gently and as respectfully as I can, but I do have this sense, and I think many of us share this feeling, Dr. Coyle, that in an era of everyone receiving a trophy for participation, everyone being raised to believe that they are, you know, they are the most unique and the most precious of all of God's creations. Have we been lacking when it comes to teaching our children about filters and about, you know, what is expected of them when they're out in the world? You know, it seems like the whole just the whole attitude, you know, within families has changed so much. If you want to misbehave, well, okay, sure. Because, you know, we think you're the bee's knees. So, you know, everybody else will accept that. Is that part of this?
It could be. You know, there's definitely, I think, generational differences as far as discipline and parenting in general. And I think we have such a heightened awareness of psychology and the possibilities of certain anxiety disorders, ADD, depression, these kinds of things. And I think we have a heightened sensitivity about suppressing feelings. And, you know, if you go back 30 years, 40 years, and people say, if I have older clients, they'll say, you know, we didn't have labels for this stuff in the day, or you didn't talk about this stuff. So there's a shift. And hopefully they're saying that, meaning it's good that I can come here and talk about this and get this out. We just didn't do that. But I think, you know, you can go too far in the other direction where, you know, with people have experiences similar to you, that it seems like anything's fine and there's no limits, no boundaries, no discipline.
Right.
So, you know, maybe the pendulum can come back to the middle a little bit, and maybe you're right that we're kind of going too far on the one side. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, you're still trying to understand what the behavior you're seeing is about, and you know, there's some problem that the child is trying to solve. There's something that's dysregulating that's going on that you want to get to the bottom of. So there's different philosophies and approaches on what to do about that or how to contain it in the short term. But I think, you know, the spirit of we want to really meet the needs, and if there's skills that need to be built, then we want to do that. Again, with kids, you know, you get emotions that this idea of displacement, that if something goes on at school, you're going to see tumultuousness at home over things that are not exactly relevant. But the issue is that, well, I have this whole emotional thing that happened today that I'm playing it out here. So, you know, if you're too quick to stamp that down, you might lose out on a conversation about
sure.
that.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's a tough
balance
of parenting.
Right. Anonymous on line one. Hi, welcome. Thank you for holding. You are on Relevant Radio with Dr. Coyle.
Yes, hi. I would like to ask, my daughter's been married several years to a wonderful man, but after being married so long, he has a mental handicap, and she's getting angry with this. She's dealing with it. They love each other, but the mental handicap is overpowering. I try to give her encouragement, and she goes to church. She loves the Lord, but what else can I help her with?
Well, I think your compassion is great, and I think, you know, the we said before, kind of presenting somebody with your dilemma and give her your thought process on here's what I'm seeing, and I'm wanting to be more helpful to you. I feel like you're suffering with this, and I really want to be able to do more. So I want you to know that. What can I do that you're taking her lead? And again, if you feel it's a sensitive conversation about that, or it's a touchy subject, that you can, you know, really ease into it and say, look, if you don't want to talk about this, just tell me. But I want to tell you what I'm seeing, and I want you to know that I'm here for you for whatever you might need. And please feel that you can come to me about that. But, you know, I had a supervisor that used to say to us, don't be so smart. So don't try to figure out what the answer is and what the prescription is. You know, ask the person, what do you need? You know, what is it that I can help you with? You tell me what the answer key is. You know, kind of a low-key approach might at least open up some conversation that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do encourage her, and she always thanks me. But it's just sad on my part that I see it, and she lives the life. What, you know, this is what's dealt, so you got to accept it. Is this right?
Yeah, you know, if there have been conversations that you have, you might drill down into then what does she need. Again, this idea, if you're noticing anger in her and things kind of building up, you might think of this idea, the pot on the stove that just boils up and boils up and boils up. So how can you help her have some outlets, or what supports does she have? How does she blow off steam? if there is some kind of incapacitation or caretaker role that she has that's can be hard to sustain day in and day out. So what, just on a low-key level, what breaks does she get? Can you help out with things that would afford her a half hour, an hour, just to reset or have time to herself, or you know, kind of very practical things in that way, if you could get a plan together with her there, or if there's other things that she could just really, would really help her to have, you know, cleaning done over here, or there might be ways that you can turn the temperature on the stove down for her such that it wouldn't erupt in these ways and she would have some more headroom.
Does that sound doable, Anonymous?
I'm sorry?
Does that sound doable?
Oh, yes, yes.
Wonderful.
I like that. That's very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate and I enjoy the show.
Well,
my pleasure.
Thank you.
God bless.
We will be praying for you and, of course, for your family. The number in the studio, 877-766-3777. We're talking about excessive anger with Dr. Joseph Coyle. Dr. Joseph Coyle and his website, josephcoyle.com, COYLE.com. He is a Catholic therapist in suburban Boston in Waltham and Norwell, but he probably will not be taking any calls Sunday afternoon, if you know what I mean. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio contributor Monsignor Charles Pope.
Very often at the water cooler, oh, you're a Catholic? Oh, gosh, you don't really believe all that crazy stuff your church teaches you. Ah, you know how it is. And, you know, you just kind of brush it aside rather than stand there, look that person in the eye and say, yes, I believe these things, and I think our world is going to pay a very heavy price for the sins we're committing today. We've got to get back to God. But again, we have not done much. And priests need to start modeling this in the pulpit by teaching with clarity, conviction, with charity, but being willing to take a little bit of heat, even from their own congregation, you know. But teach it with love, with courage, and with conviction. Model that, and then help others to learn. Likewise, in our catechesis, beautiful Catholic radio is helping people to do to get clear on their faith and to know what we teach and why we teach it and why it makes sense, and to have a joyful conviction that this is a truth.
Enlightening minds, inspiring hearts, enriching souls. Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Hey, coming up, it's the weekend of Super Bowl Sunday, and an estimated 100 million people will tune in from around the world to watch a unique blend of sports, marketing, and halftime entertainment. Hi, I'm Drew Mariani. Join me as I speak to a former Super Bowl player about what happens behind the scenes and who he thinks will win. Plus, there's a movement to make the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday a national holiday. I'll tell you where that stands and what team most Americans want to lose. That's 3 to 6 Eastern right here on Relevant Radio.
A closer look.
We now have a pro-life president and a speaker of the House who came out saying that they're going to defund Planned Parenthood and redirect those funds to comprehensive women's health care centers.
Oh, I'm rather enjoying being on the offensive rather than the defensive. And it's brought such hope, I think, to people who run these comprehensive health care centers.
A closer look with Sheila Logminas, reaching beyond the headlines to give you the real story. Weekday evenings at 6 Eastern, 5 Central.
On Relevant Radio.
The sacrament of marriage is vital to our Catholic faith. Catholic Match is a website for Catholic singles. To learn more and connect with other Catholic singles, CatholicMatch.com.
It ain't just me, baby. Anger can make you old. Yes, it can.
It's 12 minutes before the hour. This is Relevant Radio. The Drew Mariani Show comes your way next. They have an action-packed program, as always. And then Sheila will take a closer look at 6 Eastern. Drew will be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet in the 4 o'clock Eastern hour, so you don't want to miss that. Catholic therapist Dr. Joseph Coyle taking your questions, your comments about excessive anger. Dealing with excessive anger at 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. Do you find that women are becoming more, you know, maybe they're more impacted by anger than they have been in different times?
I'm not sure that I've made that connection there. Certainly, currently, as we talked about before, that there's such an extra charge to things that it seems like there's nowhere to hide. And it seems like things that may have been, you know, sub-threshold as far as anxiety or other issues, you know, the temperature is just so high that, you know, you're seeing a spike in these things and a general uneasiness. But I feel like I see it with both men and women, and I'm not sure I can point to this time as now, you know, there's more anger for women than there has
equally
been. But, you know, just this climate is not helpful. I think what I try to do with people is help them carve out a safe space. But, you know, the climate of the world is that there's really no place that's safe, or you're going to leave my office and now there's going to be another thing you're going to get hit with that just went down. So, right. You know, it's a tough time in that regard.
Anonymous on line one, welcome to Relevant Radio. You are on the air with Dr. Joseph Coyle. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Yes, my problem is sometimes with anger. I get angry after the fact. I might not say something, you know, instead of saying what I, at that point, I might later on just start analyzing and get angry and I want to get back at whatever it is. And, you know, sometimes it might be, I might say 2 days later, the person say what? But they don't, you know, why are you coming up with that now? My anger seems to be like that. I tend to snap sometimes and say things to people. I get angry right away. How do I stop doing that instead of controlling myself and they might say something I don't like? Or wait later on, a month later, to start analyzing, oh, did that person like actually said that? Oh, you know, why are they saying that? You know, how can I stop that?
Great question. I love it. This idea of having a delayed reaction, I think, is something that I see all the time. My take on it would be, you know, decide. I think it is good to reflect sometimes on your reactions. And if you feel like this, I overshot this time, I said too much, I overdid it, you want to recalibrate then for the next time so that you can say, okay, well, I don't want to go beyond this line, or I don't want to be finding myself in this position or attacking this person. A lot of times it happens with strangers. We have sometimes more aggression towards people. We don't know them. We don't give them the benefit of the doubt as much. We don't think about their situation. We just think they're a bad person that they did this, you know. So taking that pause to really get that thought in there so you're not just reacting but you're responding thoughtfully is a good thing. I think the bottom line for me is, you know, when you find yourself churning on things after the fact, is there something to do there or not? Because you might say, in one case, it's good that you're thinking about it because there's something more that you do need to say, you know, appropriately with somebody, not that you're going back and you know, starting something aggressive, but, you know, here I am, I constantly with this person, they're always making me feel less than, or I find myself being wangled by a salesperson or something like that. So there might be something that it should be bothering you because there's something that you need to do differently. So that would be one case. In that sense, it's productive. The information that you're thinking about is productive, and there's a different response that's required of you, you know, as far as what you're telling yourself, you know, versus another one where you're just churning on something and there's not really anything productive about it. Any of us can kick up old wounds and be thinking about that and getting ourselves into a negative state, but there's nothing to do. The person's not around anymore. They're not going to remember the issue, you know, so I think teasing out, is there something that I need to do here or not? And then if there is, you know, then I want to listen to this and I want to try to keep an eye out for this kind of situation. Here I am, you know, with this salesperson, for example, and they're trying to sell me 10 more things than I wanted. I don't want to do that anymore, so I want to be able to speak up. So I'm going to go in there deliberately and I'm going to say this. And I think you have to practice that. It sounds funny, or people laugh at me sometimes when I say that, but there sometimes are these skills or speaking up for ourselves that you have to practice it. somebody came back to me one time and said, we talked about this being more assertive because I was having these thoughts after the fact, and I've been working on that, and thanks a lot, Joe Coyle. I was at the drive-thru of Kentucky Fried Chicken this week, and the person didn't give me biscuits, and I took their head off, so thanks a lot for the advice. And I said, well, okay, you might overshoot a little bit, but it's something that you have to get used to, and then you have to scale it back. So there, you might find that these delayed reactions get shorter and shorter. That would be a good goal to get in these situations where there, you feel there is something that you need to do differently. Work on it.
And I cannot tell you, Anonymous, how it took about a half a second until you were into your comment before I'm nodding wildly. And I'm thinking to myself, that's exactly what I do. So I'm so glad that she called. Does this make sense, Anonymous?
Yes, it does. But I'm saying sometimes people will stare at me and I get mad and I'll stare back. I'm saying, why am I getting mad? Instead of turning the other way, I tend to confront. And, I'm not really a fighter. I might be more mouth person than a physical person. I mean, sometimes I get myself into predicaments where I'm not a fighter, but yeah, I might say something or look at somebody the wrong way, or how they, they're staring at me, I'm staring back, and I feel like saying, what are you staring at? Like, I want to say that.
Do you have a favorite prayer that you rely on, that you go to all the time?
No.
See, I would just, in that moment when you're feeling like there might be some kind of a confrontation, I would just breathe and say, come Holy Spirit. Just come Holy Spirit. Because, Dr. Coyle, it's amazing how just a few of those words, when we are asking the Holy Spirit, when we're asking God to settle us down or to put their imprint on our heart or our mind for that moment, it can work miracles, can't it?
Yeah, and you might even also think about not letting somebody else's mood or energy dictate yours. So you might be getting tough glances from somebody that they're in a negative way. You don't have to take that on. And it's tough to do that in the moment. But again, I think that's something that you can practice, even with driving. If I'm driving along and no problem and somebody comes along, cuts me right off, I can find myself getting angry, but I was fine. So I'm, in a sense, feeling their anger. So I want to have a boundary for myself, that I want to have my space that I'm in, that I'm not really letting other people influence it. So that's something else that you could be kind of doing when you go out, to try to keep your center in that way. And again, you can think of Jesus and the ways that he didn't let people dictate his behavior. I'm thinking even when the servant, when they come for him in the garden and Peter cuts the servant Malchus's ear off, and Jesus stops him and heals the guy and says, basically, we're not going to respond with aggression just because they're coming at us with aggression. Try to think of that, and as Wendy's saying, with prayer, that you can add to that. But as far as your own goal, there is to keep your center and have yourself not be so thrown by what other people send you.
We'll be praying for you, though, Anonymous, and she's listening to Relevant Radio. So that's a terrific first step, because, we have had so many people contact us, Dr. Coyle, and actually said that before they started listening to Relevant Radio, they noticed that they would get angry when they were listening to other, commercial talk radio stations, until they realized that was by design, that they wanted, they want their audience to get angry enough to call and have that kind of really sort of vocal, heated exchange. So Catholic media is a very good place to start. It has been a wonderful conversation. God bless you. JosephCoyle.com. If you are just joining us and you're wondering what you missed, please take advantage of our archives. Just go to relevantradio.com and follow the on-call page. The Holy Father has talked a lot about human trafficking and the Super Bowl and how the two are connected. Drew's going to take a look at that in the first couple of segments, and then how adoration changes parishes. We've all seen that with our own eyes. That's coming up later in the Drew Mariani Show. Have a beautiful afternoon. We'll talk Monday. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this hour of On Call on listener-supported Relevant Radio. For information on guests and topics, go to relevantradio.com and enter keyword Wendy. That's relevantradio.com, keyword Wendy.